It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Wednesday, November 7th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And coming up, a story about brick and mortar making a comeback, at least in the music industry.
And I will be rounding up the musical angles on the midterm elections. But first, a few of today's music headlines. Well, live performances are where it's at if you want to make money in the music world today, and a giant promoter is seeing its bottom line soar. Live Nation says that the summer months of this year constituted its best quarter ever, with revenue of $3.8 billion.
Billion. I hope a lot of that is going to the artists and not just to Live Nation.
Live Nation says yes. They say that at least at the amphitheaters and arenas that it owns, both increased ticket prices, ka-ching, and increased ticket sales in terms of numbers have increased artist earnings by $50,000 a show.
Nice. Well, then I guess we can keep seeing the shows.
So Live Nation says they're on track to sell 90 million tickets this year. That's a lot of shows. Jack White has responded to reports that security staff at his recent show in Edmonton, Canada, prevented two women from kissing.
Yeah, and I saw his response, and I think it was like the slow clap. Thank you very much, Jack White.
Yeah, it was actually a really cool way to address it. Very important to address it. And he actually shared a photo of two women kissing at a Beatles concert in 1964. He said that he dedicated his song Love Interruption to the two women at his next show. And he writes that he was really disappointed by the Edmonton incident. He says, let's promote love and acceptance wherever and whenever we can.
Yeah, this just is kind of a re-emphasis of something that a lot of musicians have been doing lately, where they're trying to say, hey, when you come to my concert, it is a safe space. You are welcomed in whatever form you want to be there.
Well, a little while ago, we talked about that infamously negative review that Pitchfork published of the new Greta Van Fleet album. The band have not responded. They're not going to comment, but Billboard did get their publicist to share her thoughts, and they might not be what you expect.
I feel like if I was their publicist or manager, I'd just be like, don't read the comments, don't read the reviews, just go out there in your flower necklace and perform your hearts out.
Well, she didn't say what she said to the band, but she said that from her perspective, when she read that Pitchfork review, she was ready to pack up and go home for the day. She said, somebody else was doing my job. Love my artist, hate my artist, just don't be ambivalent about them. I would think that has to increase the amount of people that are somehow going to reach for the music. So basically she's saying, whatever, just say something about my band, you know, share your opinion, and it's going to increase their attention.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, well, it certainly seems to have worked out for Greta Van Fleet since the album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army, debuted in the top five on Billboard's album chart.
What does the phrase Guitar Center bring to mind for you?
Man, Roseville, Minnesota, a big box on a hill that I'm kind of terrified to go into as a very, very amateur guitar player. It's just, it doesn't feel welcoming to me.
Yeah, and for a lot of women, it was a place where you would go into and you just didn't feel like anybody wanted to talk to you or sell you anything. Well, yeah, empty stores, mean employees, bankruptcy. That's what a lot of people were talking about when mentioning Guitar Center. And if the latest CEO of Guitar Center has anything to do with it, hopefully soon you'll be thinking about it as your go-to place for all things music. Guitar Center executives said, all right, let's go into a room and brainstorm our hearts out. And what did they come up with? Pretty much the most obvious thing you could, which is, let's help people make music in every way they want to, however we can. Cut to revamping existing stores to be this beautiful musical beacon with interactive displays, rooms showing off rare and vintage instruments and memorabilia. Think about it kind of like you would at a museum. Plus, all the instruments, DJ equipment, pro audio tools, yada, 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 that you expect. And then they've added music lessons to their websites. Basically, they were saying, we want to be the everything for you when it comes to music. And it seems to be working. There's positive sales results for the last four quarters, so they're feeling pretty happy. They're adding more stores, and they're doing something that's kind of artist-friendly, which I really appreciate, where they're putting up murals. These artists design really cool murals, and they're inviting artists to perform live at their stores. Most recently, they invited Anderson .Paak to come to their flagship store in Hollywood and perform.
Okay, so the news this week, midterm elections. So not much space in there for music news, which is fine. Sometimes there are things that are even bigger than the music, horrible as it is to say. But there were actually a couple of music news angles on the election and the aftermath. So the big news from the music world is that the bassist of Foss, a.k.a., as Billboard puts it, Beyoncé-endorsed Beto O'Rourke, narrowly lost his battle to oust Ted Cruz, whose younger days didn't include any rock bands, but did include at least one time as a mime. Anyway, Willie Nelson had also supported O'Rourke to the dismay of some of Willie Nelson's politically conservative fans. So there's a lot of interest from the music world in that O'Rourke campaign.
Yeah, and one of his old bandmates, Cedric from At the Drive-In, said, "I can only hope you run for president," pretty much immediately after the news broke that Beto didn't win in Texas.
Here's another very unexpected music angle on the whole thing. So now today, Wednesday, President Trump gives a press conference to talk about the elections and other miscellaneous things. And all of a sudden, I'm just watching Twitter and everyone is tweeting about Little John. So here's what happened. So during this fairly long press conference, a reporter asks the president about Little John's claim that when Little John was on Celebrity Apprentice, Little John says Donald Trump called him, quote, Uncle Tom. So Trump is asked about this claim, and he says, "I don't know who Lil Jon is." So the reporter then reminds him, "Well, he was a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice." Trump says, "Oh, okay, I see." And then he goes on and denies ever making racist remarks. And Twitter, meanwhile, is just blowing up, finding photos of Trump and Lil Jon together. There is even a tweet by Trump promoting Lil Jon's appearance on the show.
I think the sticking point is that he didn't remember Little Jon, but he definitely remembered Lil Jon.
Oh, that was the distinction. Well, in that case, I see where that confusion can come in. For today's viral clip, it's a video that hasn't gone viral yet, but I don't know why. I don't know why everyone in the world wouldn't want to immediately drop everything and watch this video, because it is a video of Marianne Faithfull, music legend, being interviewed by fellow music legend Nick Cave.
And if you know anything, Marianne Faithfull, besides being a fantastic musician in her own right, was a muse for a number of years. And one of my favorite lines in this is when she kind of turns to Nick Cave as for the reasoning why he likes having her around. And she's like, "Oh, well, that's because I have the juiciest stories. I've got all the dirty stories." And I was like, "Yes, you do."
Oh, yeah. So here's why this video is out. So Marianne Faithfull has a new album out called Negative Capability. And on that album is a collaboration with Nick Cave on a track called The Gypsy Fairy Queen. So this is a promotional video for the album. It includes footage of the two of them working together on this track, some more footage of Marianne Faithfull in the studio, and then this great interview that includes her sharing one of those, you wouldn't necessarily call this a juicy story, but a poignant story almost, about being discovered at age 17 by the Rolling Stones manager Andrew Oldham.
And suddenly my whole life sort of just did a somersault, and instead of going to Cambridge or Oxford, or, you know, I had plans. I was in Olympic Studios with Mick and Keith singing As Tears Go By. And now I'm very glad I did that.
You can watch all of that interview and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org.
It is the evening of the day.
That's the news for today. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Anna Wagle. I am about to hop on a plane to Iceland for the Iceland Airwaves Music Festival. Super excited to see some cool bands in what I understand is a beautiful country. I've never been there. I really look forward to it.
We'll miss you, Jay. But bring back the good stories, which you will. You'll be with us even in your absence.
I will send the good stories. Maybe I'll even get some juicy ones over the interwebs. I'm hoping to interview some staff members from Iceland Airwaves, maybe some artists, people who can talk about the Iceland music scene and about this festival, which is a huge venue for music discovery and has really been in the news this year because they have achieved the incredible goal of gender parity in their booking. So tomorrow, I'll have a chat with Mark Wheat, who's our host from The Current, who is hosting our broadcast of Iceland Airwaves and has been there before, and we'll talk about what makes Iceland Airwaves and the country so special.